John chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading with verse 23 today. John chapter 4, verse 23. And we begin reading. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Listen to this. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way unto the city, and saith unto the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And wherein is that saying true? One soweth, another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. In verse 39, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I just ask that you'll strengthen us today with your word. Strengthen us through your Spirit, that we may know your will and way for our lives. And please, that you just guide each and every one of us. Guide us to salvation if we've never been saved. Show us our sin and show us we need to trust in you by faith. And just put the words in the hearts of the lost that they'll just ask, please, dear God, save me. Please today that there'll be no one leave here that does not know you as their Savior. And that there'll be no one leave here that doesn't learn more about you today. There is never a time, I don't care how often a message is preached, how often we've heard those words, there is never a time that your word is proclaimed, that there isn't something for each one of us to learn and to gain. And so please, dear Lord, today, don't let us never believe that we've come into your house and we leave saying, I've heard that all before. Father, it can be my fault. But Father, any time that your word's proclaimed, it'll never go void. So no matter how poorly I preach, no matter how many mistakes I make, there's something here to gain. And I ask that none of us miss it today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have looked at these many verses of Scripture in the fourth chapter and Just a little reminder, a review here. We know in the fourth chapter, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And so we have been talking about him being at the well then for a couple of weeks because must needs come. We know that Jesus had wearied physically because he had the physical body because he went to sit down up on the well because he was tired. It was about 12 o'clock noon. And he asked of this lady that come to draw water, this woman of Samaria, if she would do a favor for him, give me to drink. And we know that she refused to do that. She saw no reason why that he spoke to her or asked of a request of her. And so we find ourselves now, and then in the 10th verse, why Jesus said, if you knew. And basically in that 10th verse, he says, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked drink of him, of me. And so that kind of catches us up just a little bit. And we find then in the 14th verse, whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And so it's a wonderful opportunity that no one is turned away. No one is rejected when it comes to salvation. And the only reason that a person refuses salvation is because they have chose to stand up on their own means and their own ways, and they have missed this person, Jesus, to take their sins away. And that's so sad because there's a multitude that's going to wake up and be in the lake of fire and be in the place of torment awaiting the final resting place, which is the place of torment, because they're standing upon their own means and their own strength, and they're rejecting the very one that come to seek and to save them. Wonderfully, this woman did not make that choice. She said, sir, give me this water. And so we find then in the 16th through the 22nd verse, the whole conversation changes there because Jesus begins to tell her of her past and tell her all that has been going on. They also have a discussion concerning, a dialogue concerning where they're to worship, whether to be in Jerusalem or in the mountain that they claim to be the place. And so Jesus very quickly moves through these points because they're not important points. It was enough that she knew this man was more than just a Jew. Just a regular Jew. This man, there was something special about him, and she recognized that at this point in time. And Jesus then continues this conversation, and that's where we're going to start today, is in verse 23, because he is talking about this situation, because the woman said that, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus is going to make this very clear, and it's all set upon the hours come. And you know, that's a tremendous, if I very seldom title a message, but if there's a title to this message, it would be The Hour Cometh, because that is what is about to take place here and should have taken place in all of our lives as we have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, the hour has come and now is. Means the hour of salvation. It's come for the whosoever will. And that salvation is in the person that's standing right before this woman. And that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hour when Jesus would settle this sin question once and for all. The hour has come. The hour has come. The hour when he would make the one perfect sacrifice. He had been sacrifices offered ever since the law was put into place. Ever since Mount Sinai, there's been offerings and sacrifices given. And now it's to be put to an end because the picture of all those, the hour has come that the one that is real, the one that is perfect, the Savior of the world has come. The hour has come. And if you'll just flip a couple of pages over to the 13th chapter of John, The Gospel of John, in that first verse, it kind of summarizes this so that you can see what's to come. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, once again, the hour has come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. His hour had come. He was about to face his death, the crucifixion. His hour cometh, as we look at this scripture verse here, was an introduction now to the New Testament church. It was made up, what was to come to pass is made up by all believers, born-again believers. The hour that was to come was the day of Pentecost, when every believer would possess the Holy Spirit within their heart, and does to this day. And you can find that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. All with one accord in one place, the Spirit of God came down to indwell every believer. What a day that was. So you see, when he says here in this fourth verse, the hour is come, there is much to come here in the very near future as all this takes place. The hour has come. The hour has come that, and again in this room, the upper room where those that were awaiting God's directions, that they were all baptized into one body, the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And that was the beginning. Now every believer is baptized or immersed in the body of Christ. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Because every person now that trusts in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, baptized in the Spirit. And of course, we follow a physical baptism to show what has taken place in the heart. You stand in the baptismal pool and you go down into the water, and that pictures the death of the old flesh and the death of Christ. And then we are raised with Christ as we come up out of that watery grave. We're coming forward picturing life in Jesus Christ. And so the hour is come. It was the beginning from this very moment. Jesus is starting something here. The hour when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You see, up until this time, the true worshiper should go to the temple. God had left the temple many years before. God had given the Jews, the nation of Israel, the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a dwelling place where God would meet with man, and where man can come. The combination together, and the Jews were called to take the Jehovah, take the God of Creator, Sustainer, Savior to all the world. And he come to dwell with the Shekinah glory cloud in the Holy of Holies. Well, as time passed, we find that this Shekinah glory cloud, God withdrew his presence because of all their wickedness. And so when we come to Solomon's temple, we find that he once again moves into this Holy of Holies. But as in the past, he removes himself when the wickedness increases. And now as the temple is still there, what they call Herod's temple, it is just a building. There is nothing there because his presence and his power has long left the Holy of Holies. And so as we look at this time, their requirement by law was to go to the temple to worship. That's where they were to meet God, even though he was no longer present there. Never were they to meet in this mount where the Samaritans met. But that was the question between this woman and the Lord Jesus. She says, I knew that the Jews should worship always in the temple in Jerusalem, and we worship in the mount. You tell me where. Well, here again, he says, and again, the hour comes, and we spend some time just showing all the things that are going to take place here in the very near future. And so, and he says that when this hour cometh, and now is, because he is present right there, it's underway, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Again, this beginning. True worshipers, those that are born again, those that are saved, do not come to the mount or need to come to the temple to worship. You know, we gather together here in this building, and the building should never have taken on the name church, because until believers are present, it is not the church. It's just a meeting place. And as you drive down the street, there are many meeting places that have the name on the front, that so-and-so church. Well, it isn't, because it can't be the church until born-again believers are present. And so this is just a building. This is just a meeting place. It's really something that that's very little importance, because it has no special power or special strength other than when we gather here. That's when it has the power and the strength. And that's the reason it's so important that you come and we gather together, because when we come, that's what makes up the church. And so if no one shows up, it's just a building. There's nothing special. But people come, then the church is present. And He promises us through His Word that He'll meet us in special power and special strength. We are here, born again believers. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. And so he is the leader, He is the head, and yet we build everything upon Him with the foundation. True worshiper comes to worship in spirit and in truth. And we need to come to do that in spirit. True worshipers, born again believers, worship the Father in spirit. Now, this here is not speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength and direction, but it's our spirit that it's speaking of here, that we need to come and we need to praise Him. And again, it is impossible to do that without the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we have a soul prior to trusting in Jesus, and that soul is a wicked soul. It loves the world and the things of the world. The direction of our soul is through only the devil himself prior to coming by faith to Jesus Christ. And the day that comes that we trust in Jesus Christ is the day that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And that's when our spirit, our soul, begins to surrender to the will and to the way of God. And so to worship in spirit, so no longer is God present in a place, in a building as the temple, or as the Samaritans believed in the mountain. Now, the Spirit of God is within every believer. And so we have an opportunity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is not through ceremonies, it's not through offerings, it's not through sacrifices, it's not through feasts that they had. It is by the heart, from the heart. That's how we worship God. Now, it's a joy to come together and study the Word of God together and learn together and grow together. But we have the presence of God. And as we surrender our heart to His will, that we may walk each day and serve every day and praise Him every day, it's just an extra blessing as we come together to be together as one. And it says not only to worship in spirit, but it says, and truth. Now, He's directing this woman. He's telling her that don't worry about Jerusalem. Don't worry about the mountain, because there's going to be a time. What He's telling them is the Holy Spirit's coming. The hour's come, the Scripture says. And the Holy Spirit is coming to dwell within you, to worship in truth. There is one way, only one way to worship God. There's only one way. And it's not through the sacrifices of lambs and doves and bullocks. We worship God through truth. Through truth. And the truth is none other than Jesus Christ. The Scripture tells us very clearly that He is the truth. And so for us to worship God the Father, we can't just show up here and know that He is going to be present with us if we neglect the Holy Spirit. In other words, if we neglect Jesus. Because if Jesus is the only way, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Any other way, you cannot come to the Father. You can't praise Him. You can't honor Him. You can have lip service, but there's nothing real about it. You must be born again, and then the wonderful work begins, and the wonderful days begin that we can walk each day with the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship in spirit and in truth. And so this truth is the only way, and Jesus says, I am the truth. Jesus is the truth concerning God. Jesus is the way to God. Therefore, we worship God through Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can come to the Father is, again, through the Son, the Lord Jesus. The only way that you're going to know the Son, Jesus Christ, is if you come by faith to Him and be born again. You must be born again. He is the only mediator between God and man. And we find that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. You know, when our Savior, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, something great happened in this temple of theirs. Something that the priests, the high priest, no one could explain and no one could repair. And that was the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. That veil was rent from top to bottom when Jesus died upon the cross. You see, before the blood of Jesus was shed, before Jesus died, all worship was set upon a ceremonies and things of that type that they were given. But Jesus finished that type. He finished the work. And now we worship in truth, and we can come right into the holy place and right on into the Holy of Holies because Jesus has replaced that veil. And now, because of our relationship with Him, we can go right to the Father. And you see, He is our high priest. He is our mediator. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so we need to walk each day. We need to worship in truth. We need to worship in spirit. The sacrifices, everything was that was in the Mosaic law, was all put in place for one reason. And that it wasn't to keep them bound to the law, but to point them to Jesus. That was the purpose of everyone, was to point them to Jesus. And you can go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 22, and read that beautiful message concerning what our Lord Jesus did in fulfilling the Mosaic law and all the things that were there. He is the perfect sacrifice. And so when we look to these words now, we need to see that we walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then the end of that says, and the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. All surrendered souls and spirits, to surrender our souls and spirits to God, that's worship. That's worship. You know, you see right on the sign, you know, every church has it. They said, you know, worship service is at 10:30. Well, that's not a worship time. I mean, it can be. But really, the worship time is our constant relationship that we have. As each and every day, we surrender our lives and our hearts and our souls unto our God, the one that saved us. So you can worship God anytime, anywhere. And should. The Greek words here tell us that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. It gives us the look that He has great, deep compassion for us and wants us saved. And so the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father seeks lost souls. The Father waits. His patience is so great. As He waits for us to walk down this life day after day, step after step, and many of those steps and many of those days were without Him because we chose to do it our way and upon our own time. But I hope that each here has come by faith to the Lord Jesus and knows Him as their Savior. And so this time, and you realize the love of God is so great and how long that He sought you and how patient He was. in waiting for you to come. Because you see, he's not willing that any should perish. None. The Father's tender love is shown that he is willing to save all. We're back to that word, whosoever. If we kind of get a feel and understanding for that word, whosoever, it is probably the greatest example of his love. That folks could hate him, despise him, and curse him all of their days and die without him, and yet he still loved them so much that he died for them and took their sin away if they would just have accepted that free gift. It's one thing for us to do something for someone that we love, for someone that we know, but to do something for someone that hates us and do something so great. And it costs so much as Jesus dying on the cross, the Son of God. That's his love. Jesus is the truth. And so when we look at the Spirit, to worship him in spirit, we worship him in our hearts and our lives. And again, we should love to come together and study the Word of God together. But it is every day, every hour, every minute of every day that he is with us, that we may praise him and honor him and worship him in all that we do. It does not have to be in Jerusalem, Jesus is saying. It does not have to be in the Mount, because it is in the heart that you will praise me and honor me, because I come to live with you. What a beautiful day it is that we trust in Jesus Christ. It's all about who. It's not all about where. You know, when people come to an area, they move from one area to the other, why, the first thing that they normally do is they seek out a church with the same name as where they've come from. And most people settle right there. It has no bearing whether the Spirit of God and the power of God is present and is there. It doesn't matter. It's because that's where I'm a member. And it should always be about the who, not the where. We had a neighbor that years ago lived in the apartments next door. And that neighbor was ashamed of this building. Kept offering that we need to put siding on it because it's just an ugly building. And I kept saying, hand me the money and I'll side it. And they kept saying that it was so ugly, they'd turn and go the other way because they didn't want to look at it. You see, they were looking at something outside. Number one, this building is not ugly. Maybe it's not perfect, but my dear friend, neither is anyone in here. So it kind of fits us. We're perfect in Jesus as we come. But she would never once come and step foot in this church to find out what was here. She looked at the outside and it wasn't pretty enough for her. Now, isn't that so sad that to look at the outside and it wasn't pretty enough that she'd ever walk through the door to see what was inside? If they'd ever come inside, they'd have found Jesus. Now, whether they accepted Jesus or not would have been up to them, but at least they would have come. But you see, they were more concerned about the where than who was here. We look at this 24th verse very quickly as we close. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, once again, we have those two words, spirit and truth. And God is a spirit. He's an eternal spirit. You know, he's unlike us. He has no beginning. He has no end. There is never a time that he was not. There was never a place that he was not. And we can't imagine that. That's just, you know, everything we have has an end. Everything we have has deadlines. You know, we only last so long. Our house only lasts so long before we need repairs. You know, we need a new roof because it didn't last forever. But our God is forever, and our God is eternal. And you see, that's the reason that we need to begin to worship and praise. You need to come by faith and be born again so that you can enjoy every day in Jesus, possess something eternal. But it's done differently than the world. Because you see, the world is all material things. And so we need to see that we set our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ and walking each day in Him. And again, there is never a time nor there's a place that God is not present, because He's eternal, He's everlasting, He has no end, He has no beginning. It's hard for us to imagine. And as we worship today, most worship today, and again, it's a misuse of that word because it's not worship, but most of it today is set upon the attractions of the flesh. It's the building. They do not come to praise God. They do not come to truly worship Him. It's set upon programs, and it's to please the flesh, the music, the sermonette, the building. You know, there are millions of dollars spent upon buildings today that they call a church. And there's nothing wrong with having something beautiful. But it gets to the place that when you enter in, and you may have done this, you would go into a church and you would have the ooh and the awe syndrome. You would look and ooh, oh, how beautiful that building was. The gorgeous stained glass windows or something about it just caught you. And you're standing there admiring the building. Well, you know, when you're doing that or when I'm doing that, you know what we're doing? We're taking praise away from our God. It's a place where the people should meet. It should not overtake us that it's more beautiful than what the church itself is. Of course, most of the cases, the church doesn't exist. It's just a social club, a place where people meet, and that's the only way they can attract them is to have activities and programs and all these things and have a new building, a beautiful building. You know, in the restaurant business, especially the fast foods, they want to replace or remodel their restaurant every 10 years. It's the only way they can keep people coming. They remodel every 10 years. That's the cycle. Because that way it's new and people come back. Well, the church has gone in that same mode. They remodel, they change their programs, they change their buildings, and they change the type of service. They change all these things, change the music, everything, so they get people in. Well, my friend, that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is you and I serving and praising our God. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you go back to Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, you'll see the norm of religion when the Lord Jesus speaks about it. That's Matthew 15, 8 and 9. Please, at some time this afternoon, go back to that verse of Scripture. Verse of Scripture here in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. It doesn't say you can. It says must. It says must. And we have three musts in this past sections of Scriptures that we've had, beginning with chapter 3, verse 7, ye must be born again. Another is in 3:14, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And then here in verse 24, in 4:24, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Must. You see, Jesus is a wonderful teacher. He is our God. He is our Savior. But He is here to teach us His word and His way. The first must deals with the Spirit of God. The second must deals with the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And the third deals with the Father. As He says, ye must worship Him in spirit and truth, speaking of His Son, the Lord Jesus. This is the only way. All other ways are an abomination unto Him. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we come together to do that, to raise our voices, and that our hearts and are moved by His word, touched by His word. And You'll find these words in Proverbs 15:8 concerning being an abomination. True worship can only be found in the redeemed, in the born again. Exodus chapter 15, and again another verse of scripture I'd love for you to write down and look back to read. We find that the nation of Israel never worshiped God as long as they were lost in the world in Egypt. But as soon as they crossed the Red Sea, and this 15th chapter, verses 1 and 2 in Exodus, tells of the first time they worshiped their God. They lift up their words in song to praise God because they see the Egyptians and Pharaoh's army all drowned. The horses are drowned, the chariots are tore up, and the men are gone. And they have been saved, and they're over on the heading towards the promised land, towards Mount Sinai. And they break out in song and in worship for what their God has done. That's the first record of the time that they were in Egypt that they ever worshiped God. They didn't. Worship Him with our heart, with our new heart, born again. That's what we need to do every day. And I think the more that we praise Him, the more that we honor Him, and the more that we seek His Word and know that He is in spirit and in truth, the more that we praise His name, the more we'll want to be together. The more we come to know more about Him so that we can praise Him every day. What a joy. Now, we're going to get to the harvest here probably next week. And I was sure hoping to get down to verse 29 because that's a great verse. You see, we find over in the 15th verse, it says, "And the woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water.'" She asked for it. And then we find in the 29th verse, it says, "Come and see." You see, that's what we need to say when we're talking to people. It's up to them whether they believe it, trust in Him or not. It's the work of the Spirit of God upon their heart, whether they are become saved or not. But we are to say, "Come and see." That's what we're to do. Just say, "Come and see." Let's please worship Him in spirit and in truth. What a beautiful time we have. We don't have to come to a place so that God will be here. Now, He gives us special blessings when we come together, special power. But we can praise Him and should praise Him everywhere, every day. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that we can come together today and lift up Your name. You are instructing this woman of Samaria what she is to do. What's going to happen, the hours come, as the scripture says. Things are about to change, and it was a mighty change. When You come to the cross, dear Lord, and You died upon that cross, that You would take our sins away and then come out of that grave alive 3 days later, and witnessed by so many. And then for 40 days You walked upon this earth, and then You left. But when You left, You said, "Dear Lord, You were going to send a comforter. And if I don't leave, the comforter won't come. And so I'm going, He'll come." And the comforter came 10 days later. And we know as the church was born, and the Spirit for the first time come to indwell every believer that would trust in You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your precious word, and help us to see that we need to from our heart. And true worship comes from a surrendered heart, a heart that desires to do the will of God. That's when it comes. It's within our heart, not some pew or church or building or anything of the sort. It is from the heart, and that can come because of the Holy Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, as He lives within us. Please touch the hearts. Those that are here that do not know You, please, that You bring them today. Today is the day of salvation. And those that are here, that please, just help all to understand. Call upon You for strength and power each day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.